Thank you for joining us for the CMC Weekly Podcast. God has a fulfilling and rewarding life for you as you pursue His plan with all of your heart. Our prayer is that you'll find direction and wisdom as you connect with us through our weekly podcast. Join us now for a message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Turn to James chapter 4. Put a ribbon there in your Bible because that's where we're going to spend time. We're going to look at some other passages during the message today, but we're going to continue to come back to James chapter 4. If you are a Christian, if you have committed your life to the Lord, if you have purposed in your heart to grow stronger and stronger, then you're in a daily battle. You are in a daily battle. You know, too often, and I hear people say it all the time, well, Tim, I'm having more struggles after I got saved than I did before I got saved. Well, we get this idea, once we give our heart to the Lord, we're not going to have any more struggles. And I don't know where we ever got that. Listen, before you gave your heart to the Lord, you and the devil were running straight in the same line. You're going to hell as fast as you can go, and he's proud for you. It's only when you turn around and start pursuing God, start pursuing God's will for your life, will you daily, every decision, everything you do, will be butting head in with the devil in every turn. If it's not your finances, it's your health, it's relationships in every area. And so you've got to be, you've got to be careful about assessing where you are with the Lord by how difficult your battles are. What am I doing wrong? You're not doing anything wrong. For the first time, you're going against the devil instead of with him. So you got to think that through, and you've got to understand that when you are pursuing the things of God, that every day, every decision that you make for godliness and for being honest and for doing it the right way, then there's going to be a headbutt, an obstacle. Oh, you don't need to do that. Oh, don't go there. Oh, that's stupid. Don't act like no. You're going to have a headbutt against that. The Bible gives us clear direction in our daily battle. The Bible teaches us that our battle is fought on three fronts. The title of the message today is The Three Fronts of Battle. James chapter 4, verse 1. James chapter 4, verse 1. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? I want you to underline evil desires at the war within you. Underline that in your Bible. Verse 2. You want what you don't have, so you scheme and you kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world? I want you to underline the world. Underline the world. Makes you an enemy of God. I'll say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. And he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Verse 7. So humble yourself before God. Resist the devil. Underline the word devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. In these eight verses, James tells us of the three fronts of our battle. Verse 1, the evil desires in you. Now, the Bible refers to that as the flesh. The Bible refers to that as the carnal nature. The Bible refers to that as the old sinful nature, the evil desires within you. Number 2 is found in verse 4, the world. The world. And the third battlefront is in verse 7, the devil. A life submitting our will to God's will. Following God's plan for our life, fulfilling God's purpose for our life, is and will be a constant battle And you need to know that. To grow stronger and stronger, we've got to have a clear understanding of all three of these. You know, some can defeat the devil. He's nowhere around them. And they lose following the desires of their own flesh. Some are defeated by the lure or the programming of the world. They think worldly instead of godly. This year, the members of our church are growing stronger and stronger. That's what's happening here. Faith is growing in homes, in families, in individuals. A desire for God is growing in the members of this church. Prayer life is growing for people in this church. An understanding of Scripture is growing for members of this church. Here's what I want you to know. The battle is on. The battle is on. The battle is on to sidetrack you from all that God has for you. All of God, all that God wants you to fulfill and all that God wants you to accomplish, the battle is on to sidetrack you. You know, too often, you're not tempted to go shoot the bank teller and rob the bank. So you think you're good. Hey, look here, I've got the devil with. You know, too often, I'm not tempted to get a little old house or camper trailer, pull it up in the woods, and cook meth in it. I'm good. Not all temptation is robbing banks and cooking meth. I want you to be aware that's not all of the temptation that there is in life. There is a constant pull on you to keep you from fulfilling what God wants for you to do tomorrow. See, God wants you tomorrow to drop a little note of encouragement to somebody. But the first thought is, well, I don't know where a stamp is. I'll do it tomorrow. See, it just every thought is to sidetrack you. See, God's purpose is for you to get the phone, call somebody and encourage them. That name, that person, you see their face, it hits you. I need to call them. Yeah, I'll do that later. I need to, though. See, there's a in every decision, every move, there's a constant pull on you to keep you from fulfilling God's purpose and His will and His agenda for your day tomorrow. Not all temptation is shooting somebody. Here's what I want you to know. It's always easier to grow weaker and weaker than it is to go stronger and stronger. Walk and I lift weights in the morning. And every single morning, I come in and I tell my wife, I don't think flabby arms are all that bad. As long as I have you, I can hand my Diet Coke to you and you can open the bottle for me and hand it back. Why do I have to do this? You know, getting flabbier and flabbier and weaker, you know, it's not a bad deal. I'm sweating. I got a headache. My eyes are burning. I'm hurting all over. I don't know if this is a good thing. Growing weaker and weaker is easier than growing stronger and stronger. It always is. It's easier to lose than it is to win. It's easier to quit than it is to finish. It's easier to run away than to push through. It's easier to do nothing than to produce fruit and be productive. To fulfill the call of God, to fulfill God's purpose for your day, it'll be a fight. It will be a fight. It's a fight against everything that causes you to do what God would have you to do and to get you just sidetracked or off course. Today, I want you to be aware that there are three fronts to this battle to sidetrack you and to pull you off. Hold your place in James and go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 verse 3. A farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered across the field, some seed fell on the footpath. The birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil underlying the rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. Since it didn't have any deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil and they sprouted and grew and produced a crop 30, 60, 100 times as much as had been planted. Later, Jesus, along with the disciples, they said, well, what'd that mean? You know, we just don't get it. We just don't get it. Okay. Verse 13. Let me go over this again with you. If you can't get this parable, how are you going to understand any of the parables? Verse 14, the farmer plants seed by taking God's word. God's word is seed. God's word is seed. God's word is the understanding of His will, His purpose, His plan for you. And that is sown into your heart. You begin to get a hold of that. That goes deep inside you, and it begins to grow inside you. That's what happens here for the members of this church. They come here, and seed is sown in them, and it begins to grow. And you know, after being here and under the word, all of a sudden you begin to notice, I got more peace than I've had in a long time. You begin to notice, I've got more joy than I had when I was running around out there. Ever since I've been coming to this church, I've just got more joy. I don't know why. My week just goes better. See, that's God's seed planted in you that's beginning to grow. You just, I don't know, you're getting along with people. You're starting to get along with people, and you used to not get along with folks. After being here, you know, Tim, our marriage is better than it used to be. We don't fight like we used to. Tim, I've noticed this. We've been coming to church here a couple of years, and you know, my finances are turning around. I didn't even notice it, but my financial situation is turning around. See, God's word is seed, and it goes inside you. That seed, God's word, is His way of living, His way of acting, His way of thinking, His way of responding, and it grows in you, and it begins to produce fruit. Now, there will be a daily battle to keep it. Verse 15. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those that hear the message only to have Satan come at once to take it. Verse 15, you got to watch out. Satan wants to come and steal it. You got to watch out. Satan wants to steal that seed. Okay, verse 16. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message, receive it with joy, but they don't have any root. They don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or persecution for believing God's word. See, when it goes in and doesn't take a lot of root, your flesh will take back over. You got to watch out. See, that old lifestyle, it doesn't take root, and you go back and you start being as hard to get along with as you used to be. It doesn't take root, and so your mouth is just like your mouth used to be. It doesn't take root, so your entertainment is just like it used to be. You fall back into your old lifestyle, and that carnal nature, that flesh, that old lifestyle takes back over. Satan gets it. Your flesh gets it. Verse 18. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. Satan gets it, your flesh gets it, or the world. The desire for worldly things, other things, comes in and chokes and gets what that seed is supposed to produce in your life. Now, we all have these three fronts of battle, and I want to talk about these for a few minutes. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. First of all, the flesh, the sin nature. The scripture talks about the flesh, the sin nature. It uses the word carnal nature. The Bible uses the word old man. For the life of me, I don't know why this is not painfully obvious to every human being on planet Earth. I don't know why this isn't painfully obvious to everybody. Now, I use this example. I talk about this all the time. But you've got to understand, you and I, all man is born with a sin nature. The Bible said it was passed down from an Adamic seed. I don't believe in that. Man's basically good. You never teach a child to be mean. You don't teach a child to lie. You don't teach a child to be stingy and greedy. You have a sin nature that was born in you. And you bring that sweet, precious, adorable little baby home, and it is the embodiment of selfish. It is consumed with the sin nature of selfishness, and there is no thought ever generated about anybody else in the house except its needs and its desires and its wants. Clearly, you were nobody taught that infant to be selfish. You're born with an Adamic sin nature. You set a room full of brand new toys, and you put two 18-month-old in there. They will fight over the same toy. Here, you play with this a while. I'll play with this one a while. It's not going to happen. They're going to pull the toy away from the kid with the one that's playing with it. And when he doesn't give it, then they're going to bite him until blood comes to their arm. Bite a chunk out. Who taught my 2-year-old to bite? Okay, who's guilty here? Who taught? Where did a 2-year-old learn to bite his little brother or sister? You're born with a sin nature. Here's the problem. That little infant that is totally consumed with selfishness and is totally self-centered and thinks about nobody but themselves grows up and you married it. And now you're picking up after your baby and after your husband because he just grew up and he's still, all of his thinking is about him and himself. See, that sin nature grows up and you marry it. That sin nature grows up and you live with them. That sin nature grows up and you work with them. They're across the cubicle from you. Here's what I'm telling you. The sin nature is in all mankind. And we've got to deal with that. We've got to deal with our sin nature. Chapter 8 of Romans. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. You have a flesh, an old nature, a carnal nature, a sinful nature that is always hostile to God. It's always against God. It never did please God, and it never will. That's why those who are still under control of their sinful nature can never please God. In high school, in the locker room, you can immediately identify who is being controlled by their sinful nature and who is being controlled by the Spirit of God. On your job, you can be well aware. It's easy. You can sit all the way across the room. Who is being controlled by their sinful nature and who is being controlled by the Spirit of God. You can see it. It manifests itself all day long. God's not trying to ruin your life. He's trying to keep you from destroying your life. And we've got to win over that sinful nature. We've got to win over what the sinful nature wants to produce in our life. James chapter 4, verse 1. What is causing the quarrels and the fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? Don't let evil desires keep you from God's will and plan and purpose for your life. Whatever those are, don't let your flesh run rampant in your life and destroy you. Well, I'm just a red-blooded American man. I got desires. If you don't control those desires, it'll get you divorced. It'll get your kids hating you. It'll get you fired. If you don't control those evil desires that are lurking within you, here's what will happen in your life. It'll produce death. It'll produce death. I don't care how fun it is. The end of it is death. We've got to win over evil desires. Number two, James chapter 4, verse 4. Don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy with God. Your flesh, the second one, the lure of the world. You read the Gospels over and over and over. You read Jesus saying, we're not of the, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. You read Jesus saying, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not, I am not of this world. 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If you love the things of the world, the love of God is not in you. Chapter 5, verse 4, overcome the world. Romans chapter 12, don't be conformed to the world. Throughout the Bible, we read the phrase, the world, the world, the world. That's not referring to the great outdoors. That's not referring to the beautiful sunrises and the sunsets on planet Earth. When you read the Bible and it says, love not the world, it does not mean don't get you a cup of coffee and watch a beautiful sunrise and think it's gorgeous. That's not what it's talking about. The world is a system of thinking about everything. I mean, anything you can think about, there is a worldly or a godless thought about that. And so in the Bible, when you read the world, it's talking about a system that is continually in opposition to God's will, purpose, plan, and direction. It began with Adam and Eve. Worldliness is opposite of godliness. That's why in James chapter 4, we just read this, he uses the word adulterers. That's the term to identify those who are in friendship with the world. Because our marriage is to be faithful with God. James chapter 4 is not the first place it uses the word adulterer. If you read Hosea, that's what it's about. If you read Ezekiel, Ezekiel talks about don't adulterate yourself. See, you are running after the world when you are supposed to be married to God. Careful. All day, all the time, be careful about worldliness infiltrating your thinking. When you watch the news, they don't tell you what happened. They will tell you what to think about what happened. They will sell it from a worldly or a godless slant. And you will come out of what the president said or what the Congress voted or what happened at the wreck or what happened at the fire. You will come out of that with a godless perception of what happened instead of a godly perception of what happened. Watch out all day long. Talk shows on marriage, on parenting, on finances, on self-esteem, on dealing with life's problems. Watch out. You're getting worldly thinking, not godly thinking. Watch out for movies. Watch out for movies. You're going to watch in the movie, the homosexual lifestyle is the normal. The straight life is the nerd, the weirdo, the one everybody makes fun of. Outdated, not with the times. I'm shocked. I'm shocked when I sit down on a rare occasion to try to watch a kid's cartoon with my grandkids. The rebellious attitude of the characters and their smart aleck mouth and their talking. I think, my goodness, look at the rebellion that's being sown in the hearts of 3, 4, 5. Watch out for children's cartoons. It is amazing the rebellion and the anger and the hatred that are in the funny little kid shows. See, there's a battle for you to be worldly and not godly. I want you to know the Bible. I want you to be able to identify, that's not right. That's not what God's Word says. Wait a minute, hold on. I don't care how famous that person is. That's not what God would do. That's not the way God would handle it. It's interesting. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, he wrote about a former companion. And here's what he said. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. Here was a good friend of Paul's. Traveling with Paul, in the ministry with Paul, but his love for this present world pulled him away from fulfilling the call of God that was on his life. The message today, you got to win over the flesh. You got to win over worldliness. And the third enemy, you got to win over the devil. 1 Peter 5:8 says the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking somebody to destroy. Back to James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Resist the devil. Resist the devil. I don't have time. This would be a good, teaching some other day. If you're interested, come back to church. I may teach on it. Let me just sidetrack here. I don't have time to go into this. But we fight our spiritual battles on three fronts. And each of those three fronts corresponds with the Trinity. The world is in conflict with God. The flesh is in conflict with the Holy Spirit. And the devil hates Jesus, the Son of God. See, the world's system, the kingdom of the world, is always against the kingdom of God. Worldliness is always against godliness. The Holy Spirit is the one that Jesus sent to be our guide, our counselor, our revealer of truth. And so your flesh is against the Holy Spirit that's trying to direct you. Your flesh is trying to direct you. So the flesh is against the work of the Holy Spirit. And here's what you can know. The devil hates Jesus. Jesus took his keys away. I may just make time to teach on this. No, I got to move on. We got to move on. That's another subject. But we're battling against the devil, the world, and the flesh, which corresponds with the Trinity. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Come back, I might teach on that. Ephesians chapter 2, we got to move. Verse 1. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Verse 2, you used to live in sin just like, underline the rest of the world. Underline the world in verse 2. Obeying the devil. Underline the word devil. The commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Verse 3, all of us used to live that way following the passionate desires, underline the word passionate desires, and the inclinations of our sinful nature. Here, chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 in Ephesians, all three fronts, the world and the devil in verse 2, passionate desires of our sinful nature in verse 3. You can't defeat the devil while patting yourself on the back and let the flesh get you. You can't do it. You can't stand strong over the devil and over your flesh and let the lure and the desires of worldliness and the infiltration of worldly thinking sidetrack you. There are three fronts, and we have to win in all three areas. Go back to James chapter 4. What I like so much about the Bible is it doesn't ever just give us the problem without giving us the answer. James chapter 4 not only identifies the three battlefronts, but it also tells us how to win over those three battlefronts. In verse 7 and in verse 10, humble yourself before God. Two times, humble yourself before God. That's not a popular concept with this rebellious generation that we're living in. When I read that, I thought, I better do a little study on that. I need to figure that out. Make sure I got a handle on what humble yourself before God means. Very interesting what I found out. The word humble, maybe some of your translations say submit to God. It doesn't say humble. Same word. Same word. When I looked that up and started doing some study, that is a Greek word that was taken from the military. Very interesting. It's a military word that means get into proper rank. The word humble or submit is a military word that means you get into proper rank. See, the military operates on a hierarchy of authority. And everybody has, for the military to be successful, everybody has got to work under that hierarchy of authority. A corporal doesn't start acting like a general, you're going to have trouble in the military. And all the units are going to be easily defeated. For the military to be successful, there has to be an unquestioning, an unconditional, and an immediate submission as orders are carried out from the top. Here's what I'm telling you right now. Military will not win if the soldiers are sitting around arguing. Military will not win if the soldiers are sitting around deciding if they want to. Military won't win if the soldiers are trying to decide if it'd be fun or not. I don't know, are you going to be fun? Yeah, we got these orders to go and charge over there. Are you going? I don't know if that's fun. It'd be fun to you. You want to go? Y'all going tonight? I don't know if we're going tonight or not. We ain't decided we're going tonight. But we can't operate in the military if everybody wants to make sure it's going to feel good before we're going to do it. The word translated here, humble, is an immediate, unconditional surrender. It's a military term. You can only win over these three fronts when you have an unconditional, unquestioning, immediate surrender to the Lordship of Jesus in your life. James chapter 4, verse 8. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, purify your hearts, and stop a divided loyalty with God and the world. To grow stronger and stronger, we've got to win our daily battles, but we've got to win them in all three of these areas. This week, I want you to defeat the devil in your life. I want you to defeat the flesh, and it's just desires. The desires of the flesh cause heartache and trouble for you and all those around you. I want you to defeat the devil. I want you to defeat the flesh that's against God. I want you to defeat the lure of the world. We got to grow stronger and stronger. And the way you do that is you win over all three of these fronts of battle. Y'all stand. Lord, as we leave here today, submitting ourselves to you, humbling ourselves, bowing our knee, committing to an unconditional surrender of your will in our life, Lord, we stand strong over these three fronts of battle that we continue to grow stronger and stronger. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Ministries Church Weekly Podcast. Join us each week for more messages from CMC.